Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast's Weekend Edition, our news team's weekend preview of upcoming IPOs, earnings reports, conference presentations, investor days, FDA decisions, Barron's mentions, and other key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Good morning. Today is Sunday, May 31st, and I'm your host, Rena Sherbel. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. The week ahead will see even more parts of the U.S. economy open back up and should include street-level reports on retail activity. On the corporate front, Warner Music is going public and the conference calendar heats up. Economic reports include updates on construction spending, service PMI, factory orders, international trade, and the headliner May jobs report at the end of the week. Economists forecast the unemployment rate will land right around 20% for May, and average weekly hours won't move from April's levels. Tech stocks could have a volatile week as rising tensions between Washington and Beijing create supply chain and revenue headwinds. In earnings news, it's a light calendar this week. Dick's Sporting Goods, Tiffany, CrowdStrike, and Zoom Video report on June 2nd. American Eagle Outfitters, Campbell Soup, Canada Goose, and G3 Apparel report on the 3rd. Broadcom, Ciena, DocuSign, Gap, MongoDB, and Slack report on June 4th, and Kandi Technologies reports on June 5th. The IPO market comes roaring back to life with Warner Music Group set to price its offering on June 2nd. The former Warner Brothers property set a range of between $23 and $26 for 70 million Class A shares, with an implied valuation of $13.3 billion at the top end. Warner's stable of musicians includes Ed Sheeran and Bruno Mars. A smaller IPO is also due to be priced next week, with Pliant Therapeutics coming to the market with 6 million shares in an expected range of between $14 and $16. Also in the IPO universe, the quiet periods expire on GAN on June 1st and Ayala Pharma on June 2nd, while the share lockup period expires for LMP Automotive on June 2nd. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals will share updates from its clinical oncology portfolio on an investor webcast scheduled for June as part of the 2020 American Society of Clinical Oncology annual meeting. Moderna is hosting a virtual Science Day event on June 2nd with feature presentations from the company's chief scientific officer on the newest advances. Leiji has a virtual investor day scheduled for June 3rd to discuss business strategy, market trends, growth drivers, and a summary of the company's operations and financial results. Cisco will be holding its Cisco Live event from June 2nd through the 3rd in a virtual format. CEO Chuck Robbins and other top executives will cover the company's role and opportunities during the pandemic, as well as a future innovation that Cisco is exploring. On the lighter side, Dave Matthews will give an acoustic performance, and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Joan Jett will give an exclusive interview to the Cisco crowd. Cisco turned heads last week by acquiring ThousandEyes. JP Morgan was positive on the deal, saying the acquisition should further Cisco's focus on positioning itself for emerging technology requirements of a hybrid cloud environment with software capabilities. On the heels of the ASCO conference, another big week is in store for the healthcare sector. Late-breaking abstracts for the Virtual Congress of European Hematology Association will be released on June 1st for AbbVie's Venclexta and Sanofi's Sarclisa. PDUFA dates arrive for Merck's Recarbrio, Menlo Therapeutics' FMX103, and Replimune's RP1 and Nivolumab. Presentations at the Virtual Congress on June 3rd include updates on GlaxoSmithKline's Benlysta data and Nektar Therapeutics' Eli Lilly Nektar-358 data from a Phase 1b trial. As for business updates this week, Costco is due to post a May sales update on June 3rd. Tech Resources is holding a conference call on June 3rd to discuss its updated sustainability strategy, and Face Bank Group CEO David Gandler will be interviewed on FuboTV on June 5th. Perhaps the most interesting update next week could be from Sony. The company's video game division plans to hold an event on June 4th to show off new titles for the upcoming PlayStation 5 console after just confirming that the launch is still on for the fall. Sony's event will also turn the focus on Microsoft. The Seattle tech giant isn't asleep at the Switch, with a blog post out yesterday calling the Xbox Series X the most powerful and compatible next-gen console, with AMD's latest Zen 2 and RDNA 2 architectures under the hood. The Goldman Sachs Travel and Leisure Conference will feature virtual presentations from Wyndham Destinations, Choice Hotels International, Marriott International, and Marriott Vacations Worldwide. Investors already know that April and May were disastrous months for the travel industry, but booking trends for June, July, and August will be a key focus. Nevada operators can open their doors again on June 4th. While most casino operators are setting a moderate pace with openings, reports from other states give reason to believe that Caesars Entertainment, MGM Resorts, Boyd Gaming, Wynn Resorts, Las Vegas Sands, Full House Resorts, and Red Rock Resorts could have a solid week despite all the social distancing measures in place. The picture isn't quite as rosy in Macau, with the May gross gaming revenue report expected to show a 90 to 95% drop for the month. Even the most optimistic forecasts for Macau are now showing a 25 to 30% decline in GGR for the full year. While GGR is forecast to bounce in 2021 off soft comparables, Macau EBITDA is still expected to fall short of the pre-pandemic estimates for Wynn Macau, Sands China, MGM China, Galaxy Entertainment, SJM Holdings, Melco Resorts and Entertainment, and Studio City International. General Motors is planning to add second and third shifts at its truck plants in Flint, Fort Wayne, and Wentzville, Missouri next week. The Detroit automaker also plans to add second shifts at crossover plants in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and Ontario, Canada. Glencore is under pressure from climate activists as its virtual annual meeting arrives. The company's climate policy is under a brighter spotlight after Norway's $1 trillion wealth fund threatened to sell shares because Glencore produces coal. Other annual meetings of note include Tiffany on the 1st, Etsy and GoPro on the 2nd, and Anheuser-Busch on June 3rd. TrueCar forecasts that U.S. auto sales will fall over 32% in May, retail sales are expected to be down 21% during the month, and fleet sales are anticipated to fall 78%. On the positive side, the research firm says 72% of car shoppers have stated that their need for a vehicle has remained the same or increased due to the pandemic. Not all automakers post monthly sales reports anymore, but TrueCar has a forecast covering them all. On the lighter side of things, National Donut Day arrives on June 5th. Krispy Kreme is giving away free donuts for 5 days straight starting on June 1st. Not to be outdone, Dunkin' Donuts is offering guests a free classic donut of their choice with the purchase of any beverage at participating restaurants nationwide. Grubhub is offering a free half dozen donuts on Dunkin' orders of $10 or more on June 6th through the 7th. As for the donut world as a whole, the food item has been so popular in the past during economic downturns. Of course, social distancing and empty office buildings could disrupt that investing thesis. So far this year, Dunkin' Brands ranks 15th out of the 52 publicly traded restaurant stocks with a negative 13.2% return. This week in Barron's Mentions, the stocks and themes drawing attention in Barron's Weekly Edition. The publication goes bargain hunting in the travel-related sector to find seven companies that appear insulated from the worst of the pandemic uncertainty and could be lifted over the next year by an emerging revival in travel. That includes Spirit Airlines, Southwest Airlines, Delta Airlines, Extended Stay America, Lindblad Expeditions Holdings, Marathon Petroleum, and Las Vegas Sands for operating in more attractive niches of the industry. 2022 estimated P.E. ratios of the seven range from 6.3 for Spirit and Delta to 15.7 for Las Vegas Sands. Meanwhile, CareTrust REIT is singled out as the standout pick in the senior living REIT group, and dividend hero Cheniere Energy Partners is called a well-insulated option for income investors. We end this week with our single stock focus. This week, we're covering AT&T's HBO Max launch with Stefan Redlich. The stock closed Friday at just under $31. Stefan begins here. As a long-term AT&T shareholder, I have been through ups and downs with AT&T stock and have been patiently waiting almost 4 years since the announcement of the Time Warner acquisition for the day AT&T finally launches its own streaming service that leverages Time Warner's rich assets. That day finally arrived on May 27th, but while I have not been expecting a lot, the launch even managed to miss my very conservative expectations. In my view, and I am not happy to say this, the HBO Max launch was a true disaster, not generating any meaningful buzz and showcasing significant management mistakes. Now, that does not mean that the overall HBO Max streaming service is bad and cannot become a success, but the very important initial buzz Disney Plus managed to generate is definitely missing for HBO Max. Stefan then goes on to list a few takeaways. Takeaway number one, HBO Max is available on many services, but not on the most important ones. For a successful streaming service, there are generally four key ingredients: an attractive and easy to understand offering, price and content, a sophisticated distribution strategy which allows customers to access the service anywhere and anytime on any device they desire. In my view, AT&T's HBO Max launch actually failed on both dimensions, but the more visible one right now relates to flaws in the distribution strategy. HBO Max was even striking these distribution platform deals after launch, with the latest being one with Comcast, which allows all of Comcast's Xfinity customers to sign up for HBO Max. While that is good news, it pales sharply in comparison to the platforms where HBO Max is not available, most notably on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Stefan then goes on for takeaway number two. AT&T failed to generate any meaningful buzz surrounding the launch of HBO Max. This is only anecdotal evidence, but when Disney Plus was launched, days and weeks before launch day, I got ads everywhere on Instagram and on Facebook, and the buzz was tremendous, especially given that at the time, it was not even launched in the country I am residing in, which is Germany. Further down, Stefan gives takeaway number three, provide a better offering to the customer. While AT&T cannot fix its launch day disaster anymore, it needs to focus on the present and the future if it wants to get anywhere close to the 50 million domestic HBO Max subscribers it is targeting by 2025. To do that, I feel they need to do four things. Number one, strike a deal with Roku and Amazon as fast as possible. Number two, offer some sort of appeasement to existing HBO customers who can no longer access that service on Roku and Amazon. Number three, bundle HBO Max with some wireless plans or find another big buzz cooperation partners like Disney did with Verizon. Number four, fix the convoluted messaging with HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO Max, as well as the confusing upgrade pricing. Stefan concludes with this. Investors have waited almost 4 years to finally see how AT&T will leverage its $85 billion Time Warner acquisition. Launch day was a disaster given that pricing, content, and distribution simply weren't in balance and failed to generate any meaningful buzz and excitement. That does not mean HBO Max itself will remain a failure, but management will have to react swiftly to limit further damage to the brand and prevent its loyal HBO customers from leaving the service altogether. It will be crucial to see how subscriber numbers will develop, potential temporary pricing adjustments, as well as distribution strategy. AT&T needs to go where the customer is, and that is on Roku and Amazon, whether they like it or not. I am keeping AT&T for the dividend, which remains safely covered, but ultimately, even if AT&T is able to pay back all of its Time Warner debt and more in line with its schedule, we need to see some kind of positive momentum with HBO Max, as otherwise the stock is bound to stay where it is currently for a very long time. Overall, Seeking Alpha contributors skew bullish on AT&T with 3 very bullish, 5 bullish, and 3 neutral. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thanks so much for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Alpha Trader, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great week.